Well, what the Lord told me to continue talking about my visit with the Lord, He said, son, there's a few things that you need to learn about diligence. He said, you know, there's a few things that aren't that hard and not very spiritual. He says, most religious people try and make church too spiritual. Amen? Y'all with me this morning? Most religious people make church too spiritual. Okay, let me say that one more time. Most religious people make church too spiritual. Amen? There are some practical things in church that need to be done, and the Lord corrected me on several things personally, but then He told me to share with you that there are rewards on being diligent. Amen? There are rewards on being diligent. Go to Revelation chapter 22 and look at verse 12. We're going to talk about the rewards of the diligent. We're going to break this teaching into two different areas. Revelation 22, look at verse 12. Look at what the Word says here. And behold, this is Jesus speaking, I come quickly and my reward, say reward, is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Did you notice that? Your reward will be based on what you do. Now see, over-spiritual people and religious people think that if they just attend church or if they just do something, that it's an automatic that they're going to be blessed or they're going to live the God kind of life. And that's not in the Bible anywhere. Jesus said here, He will reward you based on what you do. Come on. That means you have to do something. Our church will grow based on what you do. Come on now. This ministry in developing and finishing the vision that Jesus has called us to demonstrate His personality will come to pass in this city based on what you do. Amen? Not based on some spiritual explosion in the future. We're going to see this morning how a slothful person thinks. We're going to break this teaching into two different areas. And looking at rewards of the diligent, the first thing we're going to look at is the seven habits of the slothful. Amen? Thank you for that enthusiasm this morning. Now, if you have something to write with, it would be good that you write these seven things down. So in looking at the diligent, first we have to look at the slothful. We have to look at the mind of the slothful man. We have to look at how slothful people operate. Amen? And see where they're at. Now, this teaching and the Bible talks about a sloth. Did you know that's a real animal? Amen? Come on. A sloth is a real animal. It lives in Central and South America. It lives in the jungles. This animal actually is slower. It moves slower than any other animal in its class. The sloth does. You study this out. This is a creature that kind of looks kind of between a monkey and a bear, and it lives its entire life hanging upside down. Come on now, it does. Now, that's like most church folks or most religious people. Amen. They come to church and they expect the God kind of life to come in. I did for years, believe me. Going to the traditional church, I thought my life was going to change just by coming and just singing the hallelujah chorus and I'll fly away, and I mean, I did all of it, and I thought, boy, there's going to be a supernatural event in my life, and it's going to be glorious, and everything in my life is going to change. I'm going to be wealthy. I'm going to be blessed. All my needs are going to be met. I just got this big air castle built up in my mind. Actually, what it was a castle. It was a spiritual, religious castle. Amen. This sloth not only is a sloth is not only the slowest mover in its class, it sleeps 14 to 18 hours a day. Might want to write these things down or get the CD. Amen. Actually, I was reminded first off as I was sitting here, the Lord told me, said, do you remember that diligent woman I sent to you 6 years ago and she taught you specifically on slothfulness. He reminded me of that. He said, you know, there are some things about being diligent, but you can't understand diligence until you understand a slothful attitude first. And he began to show seven things to me about a slothful man. This sloth that lives in South America, let me just give you some synonyms for this. Amen. Drowsy. Everybody say drowsy.
Drowsy.
Are you drowsy this morning? Some of you, your eyes are kind of batting. Amen. Pastor always knows who sleeps in church. Come on now, we're going to have fun this morning. Everybody say drowsy.
Drowsy.
How about idle?
Idle.
Idle. Yeah, everybody say idle.
Idle.
Lackadaisical. Come on now, y'all help me. Y'all aren't talking this morning. Lackadaisical. Lazy. See, these are all synonyms of a sloth. These are all, if you were to go look it up in a dictionary, these would be synonyms to who this person is. Lethargic. Come on. Ooh, I mean, I had a hard time spelling lethargic. Come on now. Negligent. Everybody say negligent. How about sluggish? Are you sluggish this morning? You know, they say most men, when they get about 60, their bodies are so full of the junk that they've eaten their entire life, they become sluggish. That's why, let me just tell you this, and I'm not getting off base here, but let me just tell you, that's why the world has been inundated by all of the pharmaceutical companies trying to enhance male behavior. Why is that? Because men are what? Sluggish. Come on now. Yeah, see, everybody knows what I'm talking about. Amen. I mean, if you hadn't received an email from the pharmaceutical companies of America or their vendors, amen, you ain't alive. Come on now. And what are they trying to do? They're trying to get people who are lethargic, lazy, negligent, sluggish, drowsy, they're idle, to do what? Become alive. Amen. And come on, ladies, next month and next year it'll be your turn, I'm sure. Why is that? Because Americans are totally becoming drowsy, idle. You can see it in people's eyes when you ask them about God. Yeah, I know, I've done the God thing. I attend such and such First Church down on the corner. How long? 25 years. What are you doing? Well, we just go to church. Amen. The church hadn't changed in 25 years. They hadn't changed in 25 years. Why is that? Because a slothful spirit comes on them. The Lord began to tell me, he said, you remember that young lady that I sent to teach you? He said, these are the seven things I want to refresh your memory. The first thing that a slothful person does, he does not believe. You might write this down. The first thing out of the seven habits of the slothful person, he does not believe he is slothful. Come on now, write that down. He does not believe he is slothful. He's just waiting for the right time. Have you ever heard that? He does not believe he's slothful. He's just waiting for that supernatural blessing from heaven that's going to change everything. I'm waiting for the Holy Ghost, brother. You know, back in '06, it was great. Amen. I'm just waiting for the great move. I'm sitting here warming the pews until the great move of God comes. Yeah. It ain't warm at all. Your brain's gone cold. Amen. Well, let's look at some scriptures concerning that. Go to Proverbs 26 and look at 16. Y'all are thinking, well, where'd you find this in the Bible, Pastor? Well, let's just look. Let's take a little scriptural trip here, amen? Proverbs 26 and look at verse 16. The Bible says this. Remember, he does not believe he's slothful. He's just waiting for the right time. Proverbs 26 and 16 says, the slugger is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. Look at that. Let's read that one more time. The slugger is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. Woo! Glory, glory, glory. Come on, y'all talk to me this morning. We're going to start talking about slothfulness. Amen? The number two habit of the slothful. A slothful man makes soft choices. Say soft choices.
Soft choices.
He little by little fades away. He doesn't confront things anymore. He compromises everything, and little by little, his life slips away. Go to Proverbs chapter 6 and look at verse 9. A slothful man makes soft choices. Oh, brother, I don't want to confront that anymore. You know, I don't want to go. I know that the lost is in Conway, but you don't understand, brother. I don't want to go into that trailer park and knock on those doors. I've just gotten beyond that, Pastor. I don't want to go take care of that ladies' meeting. And oh, by the way, we have a ladies' meeting Tuesday night at 6:30. Amen. There's a sign-up sheet on the back table. I failed to mention that. But look at Proverbs here, chapter 6. And we'll start there in verse 9. I knew as much. The Lord told me, he said, now how are you taking this, son? I said, well, I'm not taking it too good. And he said, well, how do you think they're going to take it tomorrow? Amen. What? Come on now. Amen. I mean, isn't this good for us to look and study the slothful mind, the slothful person, so we don't account or we don't see ourselves in that position? Proverbs 6 and verse 9 says this. It says, how long will you sleep, O slugger? When will you arise out of your sleep? See, he's saying this to the church. Remember, he says, when I come, my rewards will be based on what you've done. Many people are going to be attached to a church and they're going to be wanting the rewards of Jesus, but we are not willing to do what's necessary to receive the rewards. Amen? And he told me the same thing. Look at what he said here. How long will you sleep, O church? When will you arise out of your sleep, yet a little sleep and a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall your poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Amen? How about in your own life? Can you find times in your own life where all of a sudden poverty crept up on you, and you did without, and for some reason you kept blaming the devil. Devil, you're stealing from me. And I mean, I've been in intercessory prayer groups. They'll shout at the devil. They'll scream at the devil. And they'll get fighting mad about the devil. Why? Because of the place they've gotten into. And all along, a little sleep and a little slumber and a little folding of the hands, so shall poverty come upon you. Amen? Go over and look at Proverbs 19 and look at verse 5. Y'all writing these scriptures down? Proverbs 19. See, this is not very spiritual this morning, although it is very spiritual. Amen? The seven habits of the slothful. Go to Proverbs 19 and look at verse 5. A false witness shall not be unpunished. Oh, yes, I'm a part of such and such first church down there. And man, we're on fire for God. Man, we're doing this and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. Look at this. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies will not escape. Escape what? Poverty. Won't escape poverty. Won't escape what that sluggish spirit. Go over and look at to Proverbs 10 and verse 4. We read it a few minutes ago for our tithe scripture. Go to Proverbs 10. Look at verse 4. See, the Bible's full of wisdom and the Word of God.
That's right.
The Bible is full of what we need. And you know, we have to ask ourselves, okay, if we're in this situation personally, if we're in this situation in our business, if we're in this situation in our family, why are we there? Amen? Look at Proverbs 10 and look at verse 4. He becometh poor, everybody say, poor, that deals with a slack hand. So in other words, you have to be diligent. Look at what else it says. But the hand of the diligent, what? Makes rich. Let me just tell you this. I know a lot of people that are successful that are not very smart. Come on. I know a lot of people that are successful and very wealthy, and they don't even have a college education. I could name right now five men that are millionaires that I have had an acquaintance with over the last 20 years that do not even have a college education. What does that tell me? And you ask them, how did you gain this wealth? And this is their number one answer. I was diligent to get up every morning and do what I do every day. One of the most wealthiest men in your city right now, I ask him the same question. He is not even a born-again Christian. He does not even have a college education. And I ask him this. See, I'm interested in these things. I want to know because I don't want to be that lethargic, traditional spirit, amen. I want to believe what the Bible says. I want to achieve what God says about me. I want to walk and demonstrate the person of Jesus. I want to bring other people to the saving knowledge of who Jesus is. So I'm even out there asking unsaved men, wealthy men, I say, how do you do this? Number one answer, I keep doing what I'm doing every day. This was really his answer. He said, I've been getting up at 5:30 in the morning and working until 6 o'clock for the last 25 years. Amen? What was he? Diligent. He was diligent. And I said, well, did you have some success and you have some failure? Oh, yeah, I had a lot of failures. And had a lot of success. Don't concentrate on my failures. I concentrate on what I did when I had success. Amen? What was that? Diligence. Amen? Diligence. And most spiritual people, it's not spiritual. It's really traditional religious spirits. And this city is full of them. This city is full of religious traditional spirits. Think that, oh, one day in glory land, or one day the great supernatural is going to come in and sweep everything, and we're all going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and you know what? We'll never have any problems again. You can't find that in the Bible, except when you get resurrected. You can't find it anywhere in the Bible. In this earth, you have to be diligent. Amen? Look at number three. A slothful man does not value time. Write that down. A slothful man does not value time. The number one thing I looked for as an employer in the business world when I interviewed young architects and other people that we needed to conduct our business, first thing I looked for, did the guy have a watch on? Come on. That's the first thing I look for. When we hire over here at the cafe, let me just tell you this. You know, Tiffany and I are experiencing a brand new group of people at the cafe over here. We both were trained in the professional world, and now we've got a restaurant, which is a part of this church. It's operating during the day. It's supposed to be used for fellowship at night. We're dealing with a whole new class of employees. Even when we interview over there, the first thing I look for is what? A watch. I watch for people that take notes. Amen. I watch for people that write themselves notes. I watch for people that carry Franklin planners around. Amen? I watch for people that understand time. Ask people, okay, when do you get up in the morning? Well, you know, this day I get up this time, and this day I get up this time, and this day I get up this time. All that's telling me is painting a picture of who that person is. Come on now. So when you're interviewing with somebody, as an employer myself, amen, as someone that interviews, there are certain key elements that we look for. Amen? A slothful man does not value time. He is not a planner, and he will be forced to go into hard labor. Come on now, write that down. A slothful man that does not value time and is not a planner will be forced into hard labor. Go to Proverbs chapter 12. You're thinking, Pastor, is that in the Bible? Why, sure, it's in the Bible. Go to Proverbs chapter 12 and look at verse 24. Proverbs 12 and look at verse 24. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Might as well say forced labor. The hand of the slothful will be under forced labor. In other words, you'll be put in a situation that you can't control. You'll be working in a job that makes you miserable. Why? Because of the slothful spirit. Seven habits of a slothful person. Go over to Proverbs 13 and look at verse 18. Proverbs 13 and look at verse 18. Is this good this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Boy, I remember every time The Lord shared this with me. I remember them teaching this kind of stuff in Bible school, and we had 70 people in there that was hungry for this. They wanted to change the world. They had had enough of their circumstances in life. They wanted to change the world for God. They were hungry for the Word of God. They were hungry to change something. You know, they were, and that's what we always look for. Is not only pastors, as employers, even in your friends. You got to be selective about who you hang out with. You hang out with a slothful spirit. Let me just tell you, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33, write that down. You become whoever you associate with. If you're associating with a lazy, good-for-nothing, you know, that doesn't do this, and guess what? That whole spirit will get off on you. Amen? Let me just tell you this. We had a couple, won't say their name, in this church that worked diligently. But they got frustrated. Why? Because nobody else would do the work that they were doing. Come on now. They came. They unlocked the doors. They turned the lights on. They served. They did everything necessary. But yet they looked around and nobody else would do the same. They said, my Lord, how am I going to hang out with these folks? Come on, I'm being honest with you. Pastor's speaking a real word to you this morning. Amen? Look at what it says here. What scripture did I say last time? Proverbs 12 and 24? Okay, 13, 18. That's even better. Look at what it says there. Proverbs 13 and 18 says, poverty and shame. Everybody say poverty and shame. Shall be to him that refuses instruction. Whoo! And we blame poverty on where we grew up. We blame poverty on the circumstances that happened to us. We blame poverty on the way my family was treated me. We blame poverty on our bosses. We blame poverty on our employers. Come on now. I'm an employer, and you know what I tell our employees every day? I go in there and sometimes they look at me like I'm crazy at them. I mean, they look at me like, you have got to, what are you doing? And I am trying to instill in them the principles of God. The best way, I look at them and I said, you can control your own destiny here. I said, I'm looking for a person that will stand up and take control of this situation. I'm looking for a person that can handle food costs. I'm looking for a person that's personable. I'm looking for a person that can take instructions. You know, if I've got to tell you time and time and time again to shut the door, pick up the mop, clean up the counter constantly, 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 amen, guess what's going to happen? They're going to get frustrated. They're going to go somewhere. I told one young man when I hired him, he was 22 years old. He was right out of college. Now, this is some practical things, folks. He was one of the best architectural students I had ever seen. And I told him, I said, you can write your own destiny. I said, you can write your own ticket. You are talented enough. But you know what? Over a 6-month period, after 6 months, I had to fire him. He was one of the best talents that I had seen in a 15-year period. But do you know why I had to fire him? He didn't want to show up to work consistently every morning. I know I'm preaching to another generation. He did not want to show up to work consistently. Our policy was you had to be at work at 8:30. He'd show up at 9:30, 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 9:15. There was always something going on. This happened, 10:30, 11 o'clock, 8:45. Oh, every once in a while it was 8:35. And what was it doing? That spirit was getting inside of my place of business and it was killing everybody else. What did I have to do? Get the weed whacker out. Amen. You had to get the weed whacker out and whack the weed. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuses instruction, but he that regards reproof shall be what? Honored, is what the Bible says. Go over and look at Proverbs 13 and look at verse 20. He that walks with the wise, with wise men, shall what? Be wise. He that walks with wise men shall be what? If you lack wisdom, James said, go to God and ask God. Who's the wisest person you know? Wouldn't that be Jesus? Wouldn't that be Jesus? You better go to Jesus and find out what your needs. Matter of fact, flip over there to James, because that's the next scripture coming up. Go to James chapter 1. If you lack wisdom in anything, the Bible says that you need to go to God. I remember, this was so funny, I'll give you this testimony. Most people would be embarrassed to share this, but I'm not embarrassed. In 1997, I started a radio broadcast, and we were broadcasting a 15-minute radio broadcast on KAAY, which was going into 27 different states. And we were diligent. Boy, we would have to record these intros, outros, and predominantly we were doing a lot of prison ministry at that time. We were receiving a lot of mail from the prisons, but we weren't receiving much mail from anywhere else. And you know, when you're on radio, you're on television, you live based on the donations that come in the given area that you're ministering to. Amen? So I wrote Brother Charles Capps a letter and said, Brother Capps, I can't figure out what in the world's going on here. I said, why isn't this working for me? And why aren't I receiving some response from this area? Why aren't I receiving response from this area? He wrote me back a letter. It was very profound. This is what it said right here. Quote, I put in quotation marks, James chapter 1, verse 5. If you lack wisdom, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. So in other words, God doesn't hold back for anybody. God is no respecter of persons. You can be as wealthy as you want to be. You can be as satisfied as you want to be in the earth. You can go as far as you want to go with God. God is no respecter of persons. He said here, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He doesn't hold anything back, and it shall be given him. The Bible said it shall be given if you ask God. It said here, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For not let that man think that he'll receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So he asked me, he says, where's your double-mindedness at? That's how he responded to me in the letter. And then he said, in Christ, Charles Capps. Well, you guess what Pastor did? I got in there and dug in and found out exactly what was going on. Amen? And I realized real fast after a period of time, I cut the radio off in the areas that I was not receiving support from. Amen? And I began to move the ministry into an area where the support and the word was being received. Come on, I'm preaching real good now. Amen? I began to share the Word of God with people that were hungry for the Word of God, that wanted to change in their lives. Go to number 4. A slothful man never finishes what he starts. A slothful man never finishes what he starts. Have you ever been around people, they start something, but they never finish it? Come on now. A slothful man never finishes what he starts. He moves from place to place to place. Now let me just tell you this. We always tell our employees this. And I remember about 3 or 4 years ago, I was working with a young man that was 22 years old. I looked at his resume. He had had 4 or 5 jobs in that year alone. He came to me looking for a job. And I sat him down. I said, son, you are well qualified for this position. You are very talented. I said, but have you made up your mind to what you want to do? He said, what do you mean? He said, well, I see here that you have worked 4 different places in the last year. What is the problem? And he just began to rattle off excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse. Folks, let me just tell you something. You got to make a decision one day that you're going to plant some roots somewhere and you got to stay and be diligent. Every time you move, you start over wherever you move. Amen? Come on now. Not only just in your workplace. And I know I'm preaching to a different generation out here. The generation today from 18 to 25, if they don't like the job they've got, they'll leave it and go to another job. The only thing they don't understand is they're being totally deceived. Because every time they go to each new job, they're starting fresh again. Amen? They're starting fresh with seniority. They're starting fresh with relationships. They're starting fresh with their salary. Amen? And increase will never go if you continue to move from place to place. The slothful man moves constantly from place to place. Go over to Proverbs 12. And let's look at a scripture on that. Proverbs 12 and look at verse 27. Proverbs 12 and verse 27. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting. In other words, he did not use what he killed and devoured with his own energy. Look at that. A slothful person will not utilize the 2 years that they've spent, the hard-earned time that they've invested in a corporation or a business. They count it as nothing and move to the next place. And all along, it's deception by the devil stealing your life. And after you do that 15 or 20 years, most people at 55 and 60 years old wake up and they think, my life's almost gone. What have I been doing? Amen? Why? Because they have no roots. It's a slothful spirit's what it is. Make a decision to be diligent. If you want the rewards of the diligent, you have to become diligent. Amen? Go to Ecclesiastes over there to your right, chapter 10. And look at verse 18. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. And look at verse 18. By much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands the house droppeth through. When things decay, it's because of a spirit of slothfulness. If the church is in decline, it's because there is a spirit of slothfulness. If the church is shrinking in size instead of increasing in size, there is a spirit of slothfulness in the church. There's not a spirit of diligence. Amen? Come on now, I ought to get a good response right there. If your business is not growing, it's dying. That's because slothfulness is in there somewhere. You need to write this down somewhere. If you're having a hard time getting the same contracts or obtaining the same salary that you had the year before, God's called us to increase. He didn't call us to increase at 30 years old and then decline at 40. I'm 42 and brother, I ain't declining at all. I'm growing faster and I'm going forward. Amen. I heard somebody say, well, you're 40, you're over the hill. No, I'm just climbing up the mountain. Amen. My days are bright ahead of me. Amen. Go over to Proverbs 24, a few pages there to your left. A slothful man never finishes what he starts. Proverbs 24 and look at verse 29. You see, when I was in... Every time I heard this, and even last night, I was so hungry for it. You know why? Because I'm quick to want to correct myself. I'm always quick to find out what needs to be corrected. I'm like that weed puller, amen. Go get me some ortho weed killer. And let's do whatever's necessary. Amen. Look at Proverbs 24 and look at verse 29. Say not, I will do so to him, and he hath done to me. I will render to the man according to his work. Say not, I will do so to him as he hath done to me, because I will render to every man according as his work. I went by the field of the slothful, look at this, and by the vineyards of the man void of understanding. Underline that right there, void of understanding. Void of understanding. And look at verse 31. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nestled had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Remember Nehemiah? When he came into Jerusalem, his number one purpose for coming in Jerusalem was to do what? Rebuild the walls and rebuild the city. He had a heart. He got rid of all the slothful leadership and he came in. He did what? He revitalized the whole city and he revitalized the temple worship again. Number five, a slothful man lives in a world of wishful thinking. Need to write that down. A slothful man lives in a world of wishful thinking. Tension is always at its height around the slothful. Write that down. Tension and strife is always at its height. Why? Because they're slothful, there's always pressure everywhere they're at. Pressure to pay bills, pressure to do this, pressure to do that, pressure to do this, I can't meet my needs, I can't this, and they're always full of tension. Why? Because they live in a land of wishful thinking. Well, where are you going to find a scripture on that? Go to Proverbs 21, Look at verse 25. And I'm going to read that out of the Message translation. Proverbs 21. Look at verse 25. Y'all getting this morning? Amen. Come on, I'm not getting much response. Are you writing this stuff down? Amen. Yeah. Are you trying to avoid it? Are you looking at your watch? Trying to get here? You're going to have to give me just a few more minutes, and I'm going to get through these 7 points, and then next week we'll get into the rewards of the diligent. Look at Proverbs 21, and look at verse 25. Now, this is what it says in the Message. It says, lazy people finally die of hunger because they won't get up and go to work. That's what the Message says. Now, let me read that out of the King James. Proverbs 21 and verse 25 says this out of the King James. It says this. It says, the desire of the slothful kills himself, for his hands refuse to labor. But I like the Message. What did the Message say? The Message says, lazy people finally die of hunger. Why is that? Because they won't get up and go to work. Amen? The church will finally die and fade away. Why? Because we won't get up and go to work. That's what the Lord told me last night. I asked him specifically in the summer months. I said, why is there such a decline in attendance in the summer months? He said, because people are out doing stuff and you're not out there getting them back in church. It's simple sales. He said, because you're not out there bringing them back to church, they're more involved in their yard, they're more involved in the lake, they're more involved in the barbecue. And it says right there, let me read this again out of the King James. It says, the desire of the slothful kills himself, for his hands refuse to labor. Now going over, and let's look at number 6 here. A slothful man brings pain and damage to his family, church, and employer. Write that down. A slothful man brings pain and damage to his family first, his church second, and to his employer. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, let's look at some scriptures here. Go over to Proverbs 10 and look at verse 26. We've all experienced this with people. Now, Pat, I have to use this little allegory that you gave me the other day. I think it's worthy of mentioning again. Pat said, you know, sometimes this thing comes to my mind about a little red wagon. And she said, this wagon, it takes 8 horses to pull this wagon. She says, but most often the time, not only in the business world, but in the church and in most families, 7 of the horses are in the wagon and 1 horse is pulling it.
Amen.
Come on now. Let me say that one more time. It takes 8 horses to pull a wagon. In most families, I'm talking about today's generation. In most families, in most churches, if we gave you the information in most churches and in most businesses, because I was in the business world, 7 of the horses is always in the wagon and 1 horse is always pulling the wagon. Amen? Isn't that the truth? A slothful man brings pain and damage to his family, church, and employer. Look at Proverbs 10, verse 26. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that sin him. Y'all with me this morning? As vinegar is to the teeth, and have you ever gotten smoke blown in your eyes? It burns, doesn't it? That's how a slothful person is in their family. That's how irritating they are. Have you ever just taken a big old swig of vinegar? Come on now. How'd that taste? Oh, man, you spit that out fast, didn't you? The Bible said, Pastor didn't say this. The Lord said this. He said it to me last night. He's the one. He said, you go over there and look at Proverbs. He said, most families, he said, the slothful in the family, the church, and most business. And let me tell you, I've been in the business world too. There are some people in the business world that we just carried. They just showed up every day.
That's right.
We just carried them. They didn't know what work was. Just out of the compassion of our heart, the leaders and the partners in the business, we just carried them. You know, and actually, let me just tell you about this employer that I had. The hardest thing he had, or the biggest problem he had, was letting people go. He had such a compassion. He had such compassion for people, he just could not let them go. But he finally would always get forced to a place where he had to let them go. And that person would wake up and think, "My Lord, what happened? I've been here 20-something years. I have a title. Man, I've got insurance. I mean, I've almost got a bonus this year. What happened?" And next thing you know, they got let go. The slothful man brings pain and damage to his family. Go to Proverbs 18 and verse 9. Y'all getting this morning? Amen. "He also that is slothful in his hand or in his work is a bother to him that is a great waster," or "is a brother to him that is a great waster." Y'all didn't think any of this was in the Bible, did you? Look at this. Let's say that again. "He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster." One more scripture there. Amen. Go over to Proverbs 20. Look at verse 4, a few pages there to your right. It says, "The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing." Now, let's just put the church in there. Let's not put the slugger in there. Let's put the church in there. The church will not plow by reason of the cold. Well, you know what they say. They don't want God. They don't want this. We can't do this. We can't do that. They'll never be saved. They'll never change. They'll never this. They'll never that. Therefore, they shall beg in the harvest. My Bible says over in Psalms 34 that the righteous shall never beg bread. Amen. That's what it says. And then finally, go over and look at Proverbs 26:13 and number 7. If you're writing these down, "A slothful man is the victim of self-induced fear." The slothful man is a victim of self-induced fear. He knows what to do but refuses to obey. The slothful person is a victim of self-induced. Everybody say self-induced. That means the pastor and the pastoral staff didn't cause it. Come on now. Self-induced fear. This is what the Lord told me. He knows what to do. The Lord sat down and told me, he said, they know what to do, but they refuse to obey. Look at Proverbs 26 and look at verse 13. He said, they know what to do. He said, I've been preaching to some of these people over 25 years. He said, they know what to do. Proverbs 26 and look at verse 13. The slothful man says, there's a lion in the way. I can't go out and evangelize today. There's a lion in the street. I can't go out and share my testimony with them. I don't have gas in my car. I got to watch football. Lord, you don't know what I'm going through this week. How can I witness to anybody? I'm looking for a job myself. How can I evangelize with anyone else? How can I do this? My wife doesn't even like me. How can I share the love of God with anyone else? My kids don't respect me. How will anyone else respect me? There's always fear, self-induced fear, with the slothful. Actually, what it is, they're just making an excuse for their own behavior.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right.
They're just making an excuse for their own behavior. Look at what else it says there. Proverbs, and when he told me that right there, I began to slip down in the chair last night. Amen? Come on now. Hey, if he talks to me first. Amen? He talks to the head first. See, all the oil starts at the head and then goes down, doesn't it? He talks to the head first. Proverbs 26 and 13, look at verse 14. As the door turneth upon its hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. I mean, come on. Yeah, you ought to get a laugh out of that, isn't it? But it's the truth. It's the truth. As the hinges turn on a door, so do the slothful turn upon their bed. How about that? Do y'all know anybody? You know, you're supposed to get up and and go to school, and there's always somebody at school that was at least 30 or 45 minutes late. And you could just, I mean, actually, you just got, you knew them, and you could gauge them because they were going to be late. Or they were not going to achieve. Why was that? Because they were in there turning around in their bed. The alarm clock went off. And we've all done it. Let me just tell you something. The alarm clock went off and you hit it 20 times. Your wife started the shower and then poured water on you and you still laid in the bed. Come on. Isn't that good? Look at verse 15. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. Look at verse 16. The slugger is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render season. Now, here's what we're going to get into Wednesday night. You need to write this down. Amen? We're going to finish up here. How do you correct slothfulness? Here's the first thing you got to do, and you need to be here Wednesday night. This is the first thing because if you go over, the first thing you need to do to correct slothfulness, you got to discipline your body. How do you discipline your body, Pastor? You have got to learn how to fast and break off the powers that are binding you. You have got to learn how to fast. Fasting is a key in life. Isaiah 58, verse 6 and verse 8 says, when you are controlled by a demonic spirit, or you are so far in the flesh that you can't keep your eyes open in church, or you can't, you know, you can't complete the job you're supposed to be doing. You can't, you know, take care of your family. You can't love your wife and spend time with your kids like you should. Then there's a problem. And the way to break that is fasting. You have got to break the bonds that are holding you. And generally, it's in the flesh somewhere. Tiffany is going to teach Wednesday night about fasting. You do not want to miss that. She is going to be talking about food. She's going to be talking about the process of a fast. And at the end of this month, the church is going to go into a fast. I'm going to ask everyone to consistently fast. Why is that? Because we have got to get back on track here, folks.
That's right.
This church has got to get back on track. All these people that are out for the summer, they ought to be in church today.
That's right.
All these people that may have left because they got offended or whatever, that wasn't God's will. We ought to be out loving them. We ought to be out getting them. We ought to be in the fields. The harvest is white. We are just too slothful to go into the fields and harvest. It's what the Lord told me last night. He said, I have set the time, I've set the place, my word has been preached to a measure. They are ready to be harvested. People are ready. They want their lives changed forever. They want to change. They want to see the real Jesus. They don't want to see religion. They don't want to see just, you know, a three-point sermon. They want to see the real Jesus. And they're not going to see the real Jesus demonstrated until we demonstrate Him. Amen? Isn't that what we're called to do? We're called to demonstrate Him. So you got to discipline your fast. How do you correct slothfulness? First, you got to discipline your flesh by fasting. Number two, you got to learn the principles of diligence. Write this down. You got to learn the principles of diligence by looking at the ants. You say, what do you mean looking at the ants? Well, we're going to get involved in that. You got to keep detailed records of what you do each day by starting to use a planner. You got to start following up with people. We've got to start encouraging people to come to church. We've got, why? It ain't for the church and it ain't for pastor. I didn't call to come to Conway. Tiffany and I don't need. It's for Jesus and His heart. It's for the lost people out there that can't pay their bills. They're dying and they're going to hell. People are drinking their life away. They are using drugs. It's destroying their mind. They need the real Jesus. They need a real heart of people that are interested in actually turning things around for them. Amen? And then we're going to talk next Sunday about the rewards of being diligent. Remember, Jesus said, my rewards are with me. Now let me close and just give you a taste. I know we're a few minutes behind. Go to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25. And I want to just give you a taste of some of the rewards. Matthew 25. Look at verse 20. Look at verse 19. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh. See, He's coming back, folks. That's what you got to realize.
Amen.
Jesus is coming back. He's coming. And we've got to be ready. Jesus is coming. See, after a long time, see, there's been a long time and some people have fallen into slothfulness. But Jesus is coming and we've got to be ready. And so he that, look at verse 20, so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, you delivered unto me 5 talents, and behold, look at this, I've gained besides them 5 talents. Look what the Lord said. The Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over what? Many. There are rewards to diligence. We're going to get into that next week. Every head bowed and every eye closed.